ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth Livecast. My name is Jim Case, and I am so psyched that you're here. Our show today, having a little bit of technical difficulty. My guest co-host today was coming in live from Peru at her center at El Camino Sagrado. Selena Quinn is an amazing human being, and I'm so excited to have her on the show. Unfortunately, right now, we're having technical issues as she's trying to come in live. So hopefully that will get resolved here as we get started. The idea today is to talk about fear and attachment and fear, and really dive into how those two things stimulate our system, what they do, and the anxiety, how that creates depression, how those things all work together about pulling us out of now, some to the future, some to the past. But there's all kinds of wonderful little pathways that we find in this process of unraveling attachments. So attachments is a powerful topic, and one that we all struggle with in some form or another at some point throughout our lives, whether it's an attachment to something special in our lives, a feeling that we had, a relationship that we had, a person that we know. Powerful topics. So anyway, let's go back to focus. Take that deep breath with me. Help me to release all this energy right now. Good. And now I want you to bring your awareness to your field, to your energy, to your consciousness, to the things that you are attending to. Just feel around, keeping your eyes closed. You don't have to go anywhere or do anything. Just listen to my voice and feel around in your own energy field. And notice the things that are taking up space in your energy field. Notice all the varying ways that your energy is occupied with things that you are attempting to hold in place. Some of them are old, some of them are new, some of them are fleeting. Maybe the sound of a dog barking in one case, and over there you're thinking about your bills, and over there you're thinking about your relationship. Over here you're thinking about work. Over here you're trying to remember what you wanted added to your shopping list, and over there you're trying to remember what time your dog's appointment is. all of those things are occupying your field and your energy right now. And so many more, I'm sure. Just observe them. Don't try to do anything to them. Just observe them. This is how you carry yourself through your world. This is how you manage your energy. And now that you're there, now that you feel and experience some of that, I want you to consciously withdraw your consciousness, withdraw your field from outside influence. Just bring it into your body. Pull it into the center of your being, right into your heart space. Just the command. Just command that to be there. I'm pulling my energy in. I'm bringing it inside of me. And I'm releasing all of the external attachments, all of the external stuff that's going on. I'm releasing it. If it's important, it'll be there later. You're not losing it. It's not going to go away. But bring that awareness inside the body. I want you to become aware of the inside of your experience, the inside of your body. Feeling your way inside. What does it feel like inside your head? What does it feel like behind your eyes and your sinuses and into your neck and into your shoulders? Are you feeling relaxed? Are you feeling peaceful at this moment? If you feel any tension, just focus for a second, breathe into it, open it up and let it go. Let that awareness move through your body now, down through your chest. Feeling your lungs, feeling all the muscles and bones in the rib cage, down through all of the organs, through the heart, through the pancreas and the liver, and all through the lower body, into the hips and the legs and the thighs, coming down the knees, down to the feet, down the arms. Just be in awareness of the internal experience of your body right now. And now we're going to focus breath. Breath, for me, is the foundation of our experience. Breath is that vital force, that chi, that prana, that universal energy that animates this body, that brings in pure, pure love energy to enliven the souls and enliven the system. And we're going to use breath now as a way to manage the experience. We want to manage the flow of breath. We want to become conscious of our use of breath, because the breath will set the foundation for all of the things that you want to create and transform in your experience. Because it is the vital life force, the more that you manage and engage with it, the more you align with it, the more you change just organically through that process, but it also puts you in the center of your power. And what we're going to do is we're going to inhale to a count of four. We're going to hold at a count about two, just to really hold in that full space. And then you're going to purge from the mouth. You're going to release all of that air out of the mouth to a count of six. And we do that so that you can get all of that old energy and air deep in the lungs and just purge all that out as you make room for new energy and new air. And then at the bottom, we're going to sit and we're going to rest in that emptiness for a moment, in that void, because it's equally as powerful as the fullness. So keeping all of that awareness focused in the body, in the heart space specifically, I want you to begin to breathe, inhaling through the nose. One, two, three, four, filling completely, and now resting in the top, relaxing the shoulders and the neck. And now let it go from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six, and then relax in the void for just a moment. Let the body relax in emptiness. Conscious, engage the lungs. Begin the inhale. Two, three, four. You're full. You're full. You're holding. You're resting in the fullness. And now you're releasing from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six, and release into the void, into the emptiness, just resting in that space. As you re-engage and inhale, two, three, four, as you're full, you're rested, you're relaxed in the fullness, and then you release. Two, three, four, five, six, as you rest in the empty void, rest in that emptiness, feeling at peace. Continue the breathing cycle on your own. As you're inhaling, feel that expansion in 360 degrees, opening in all areas, just letting that light, vital life force fill you and nourish you. And as you reach the top, just be in that fullness. And then you purge from the mouth, releasing it as it takes with it all of the old energy, any stuckness, any stuff that's in the way, any old air, just purging it out of the lungs as you reach the bottom. And then appreciating the emptiness, appreciating the void as you re-engage and carry on another cycle. And I want you to take in these words as you're breathing. Just let them wash over you. Let them feel your way through them. Just be with them. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized, and from that I create, expand, and engage. I am. And breathe that in. And feel that sense of presence in you now, that sense of focus as our energies come together. All of us, all of you out there listening, all of you engaging, our energies lining up for a powerful conversation. And now gently allow your field to extend out again. Just let it move out naturally, releasing your consciousness back into the world, but in that focus, in that present moment. Doing great. Come back at your leisure. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to dive in. Okay, guys, we'll be right back. We're not. I'm not sure what's happening here today. So I guess we'll carry on. I keep pushing my buttons, and my buttons aren't getting. Interesting. All right. So let's move forward. Unfortunately, it doesn't appear, and I'm keeping an eye out for Selena in case she's able to get her situation sorted. If we can't today, we will definitely have her back. A little bit about Selena. I met her in Peru at El Camino Sagrado. It was the center that Michael and I went to back in a few years back, 3 years ago, I think, where we did an eight-day ayahuasca retreat. Selena was an extraordinary human being through the process. She's an integral part of that center, and I'm excited to have her here. I'm excited for you to meet her and to learn about her center and to learn about the work that she does. She's an extraordinary person. So we'll dive into this topic. I want to save some of it because this was a topic that she was very interested in, but I think it's a good topic to dive into in talking about attachments and fear. And here's the thing about attachments. Understanding attachments is probably, I would have to say, a very foundational aspect of how we engage the expansion of our consciousness, because attachments keep us locked into a level, keep us locked into a frequency, if that were. So whenever you attach to something, whenever you think, I can't do without this thing, you have aligned your energy to this thing, and your energy will not go beyond this thing because it is attached to the thing that you think is important. So that sounds kind of rudimentary, but if you extrapolate that out over anything in your experience, whether it's a feeling, whether it's a person, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, when you have chosen to attach to it, that isn't a sign of love. That isn't a sign of appreciation. It's an attachment. It becomes a need of sorts, which really is what drives the attachment, right? There is the fear that I'm not enough, or the fear that I need to be more, or the fear of whatever that is in relation to this thing that you're attached to. I get feedback. I get constant acknowledgement of who I am. I get There are things that sound positive in that as well. When you choose to attach, we attach to a job or a career because we believe it's the source of our money, because we believe it's the source of our happiness, because we believe it's the source of something important. And really what's happening is the attachment to that thing is keeping you at a vibrational frequency comparable to that thing. So you're not creating any space for other. You're not creating any space for expansion beyond. You're not creating any space for more, as it were. You can within the context of that field of energy, but what ends up happening is that when an attachment runs its course, meaning when you realize, when we wake up to the attachment, that's when the divorce happens. That's when we finally come to terms with realizing that the energy, us and that energy aren't compatible anymore. And the attachment has blinded us to that unhealthiness because we're allowing ourselves to believe that this thing is more important than our own health, our own well-being, our own centeredness, our own alignment. So when we operate from a space of fear, and by the way, fear is a choice, unraveling the illusion of our separation from love. What a morning. Unraveling the illusion of our separation from love. This book, really, truly, guys, this is, if you want to learn more about attachment, if you want to learn more about fear and the evolution of fear in the human experience and how we use fear and how fear is used and how we are trained into a fear-based consciousness, this book will blow your mind. This book will expose to you the underpinnings of all the things that, and this is not by way of conspiracy theory. This is all about self-empowerment, guys. This is all about you stepping in fully to the realization of the divine creation that you are. So Fear is a Choice is going to take you through understanding how you were evolved into that experience and then how you've used it going forward. And then top of that, how our social structure, how our world structure is designed to keep reinforcing and uplifting those fears. And how then you can see them, how you can disengage from them, and how you can live in a world that is not fear-driven, where you can literally make different choices about how you engage everything. So instead of your world being limited by this specific viewpoint, you open up your experience to this and all potential and possibility. And that to me is an extraordinary, extraordinary change. So how does all that relate to attachment? So if you figure that some of the core fears that we all deal with in life, whether they're insecurities, whether they're unworthiness, whether it's a fear of any number of things. The fear stimulates the desire to find resolution in a way that we don't have to feel the fear anymore, rather than just address the fear. Well, I think what happens next is that the fear leads then to attachments, because we become afraid that if we don't have this, we won't have that, we won't be okay, we won't be safe, we won't be loved, we won't be whatever all those things are. So understand that in most cases, and I would have to say in all cases, attachment is specifically about the fear of loss or the idea of lack. We attach thinking that's maybe the best that we can have. We attach maybe thinking we're not good enough for more. We attach as a way of trying to feel better about what we are not confronting in our own self about the fear that we are feeling. Did you follow that one? So the subconscious, remember, this warehouse, we have what, 10% of our consciousness that we're aware of, roughly, I think is what science says now, 10% of this entire spectacular, unbelievable being that we are. So as we filter through the five senses, as we take in the world through the five senses, it's filtered through that fight or flight mechanism that's keeping that ego, that's watching and just making sure that we're safe on the planet. Well, it's also, the mind is also going into the warehouse of the subconscious and bringing forward anything that it can bring forward to support your prevalent viewpoint, meaning your prevalent energy. It's using your experiences to support you in your viewpoint because everything is conspiring on your behalf. So if you are living in a quote-unquote negative space, if you're living in a fear space, then your mind will support that by providing you with situations, circumstances, ideas, thoughts, and concepts that support that based on the experience that you've lived in your life thus far. Concurrently, if you are in a positive, more positive space, if you tend to focus in joy, then your subconscious will find those things in there. Your mind will go and find the things that continue to support that core vibration as you also do your work. Because remember, 7.5 billion unique sparks of light all over this planet, 7.5 unique sparks of the divine showing up. We're all interacting. We're all experiencing. We're all having moments. We're all having life experiences. And we're making assessments and we're assessing it against what we see and feel and all that good stuff on the outside. That's also part of where attachment shows up. Attachment then shows up because we're attaching to things outside of ourselves that don't serve the internal process. Because see, and ultimately, you don't want to be attached internally or externally. Attachment does not reflect caring. Attachment does not reflect the importance or significance of something. Attachment doesn't lay a foundation for a successful relationship with it, whatever that may be. Because even if you're attached to something like this, I'm attached to my phone, right? I need this to survive. It's got all my information. It's got all this. It's got all that. The unfortunate thing about the attachment is the attachment to this says that you're not whole without it, or that you can't function without it, that you are incomplete without it. All of those are just reinforcing negative concepts of who we are and who you are that don't serve you. So it's important to recognize that underlying all attachment is a fear of some sort. It doesn't mean you have to necessarily spend an inordinate amount of time to unravel all of that. You can use breath. You can use your daily practice to help open, continually to open your field and to surrender those things that you don't quite understand. And those things that are ready to go will leave. Because remember, when you consciously choose to elevate your vibration, when you consciously choose to spin that vibration up, when you reach that new pinnacle of your vibrational experience, anything that is below that, that is not in alignment with that vibrational frequency, has to change. And if you look at that in your own experience, you'll find that that's a consistent experience, whether negative or positive. Whether negative or positive, because the system is designed to support your focus. That's where the whole idea of thoughts become things. The whole system, this whole experience, your consciousness, your ego, your brain, everything is focused to illuminate and to give you the fullest potential experience of the thing that you focus on. Your focus is everything. Your focus is what brings everything to life. So if we recognize that attachments are sourced in fear, and if we recognize that we can change our relationship with fear, because fear is a choice, always and forever, fear is a choice. You have the ability to change this at its root. Because see, the attachments, again, they're also, they can anchor you, and they do anchor you. But remember, they anchor you in the vibration in which they were created. So if you find yourself attempting to bring your energy to a new place, if you're finding yourself attempting to change something that is unrelenting, look to your attachments. Look to your attachment to that thing. And then once you see that, look underneath the attachment to the fear that is holding it in place. This is not some, you know, horrible, awful discovery process, meaning you're not going to necessarily discover something that you never knew, or that you were never completely aware of, or that you didn't have a sense of. Discovery in self is just about becoming conscious and aware of the things that we just don't necessarily want to, because either we think they're hard, or we don't believe ourselves to be that way. But again, see the attachment, and then lift it up so you can look underneath to see what the fear is underneath it that's holding it in place. And when you consciously choose to surrender that, then you release those anchors of that attachment. And when you release the anchors, then they no longer need to be there. It no longer needs to be there. And now you've allowed your natural buoyancy, that natural, you know, in law of attraction, they talk about the cork that floats on the water is your natural state of buoyancy. What we tend to do is take that cork and pull it down into the water and pull it as far down as we can and hold on to it, because the perspective is this is where we're supposed to be. But again, when we release that, when we just go like this and surrender that space, that cork will float back up to the top naturally, because that is its nature. That is your nature. Your nature is joy and love. We grow in attachment over time because we're trained through fear to believe that it is important. When you begin to navigate in unattachment, part of that is coming through your daily practice. Part of that is coming through your focus in the breath work. Part of that is conscious focus on creating the core vibration that is in alignment with where you want to be. And that is a feeling, that is a state, that is a place in your energy field where you allow for all potential and possibility. You do not force opportunity and potential. So the more you become unattached, the more of the observer you can become, so that you begin to observe your experience. And when you observe your experience, you are able to attend to all of your experience, because everything in your field is just something in the field of your awareness. It's something that shows up that you go, oh, glasses, I need to do with glasses. Oh, pen, I need to do something with pen. Oh, book, I want to do some. No, I don't want to do anything with the book right now. But you're attending to these things. And notice there's no, oh my gosh, there's no fear, there's no reaction. There's just attention to. Because in that space of unattachment is now. In the space of unattachment is you're purely aligned in the now moment, creating and manifesting from this moment. So there's no resistance. No resistance in your field, no resistance in the space. No resistance to the love, no resistance to the flow. The attachments keep you out of now. And we're talking about depression and anxiety. So in my experience, and this is may not be universal, but I believe it to be relatively accurate. And that is understanding anxiety, understanding depression, anxiety. Anxiety is this vibrational frequency of chaos that is largely focused in the future. It's not in the present moment. It is always reacting to things in the future. It is an energy of pushing. It is an energy of not allowing for the future to unfold. It's the belief that there has to be something managed there. Depression, on the other side, I think has a lot to do with being stuck in the past, being stuck in what was, or what you think you did, or how you think you did, and wallowing in that old energy and not being in the present moment. The fears that support that energy, again, create attachments within those experiences. I have to, as an anxiety person, I have to do this. There's an intensity, there's an intention to, I got to manage the future. I got to manage what's coming. I got to know what's going on. On the flip side, I wasn't good enough. I didn't do enough. I wasn't strong enough. I couldn't think, and I wasn't creative enough. Whatever all that is that you're attached to in there. Again, understand, find the attachment, lift it up, look for the fear underneath, and begin to address the fear underneath. Bear with me one second here. I think our Selena was trying to message. Hi, Selena. Thank you for listening. And I'm sorry that we can't get you on today. We will definitely, you showed up in the screen, but there is no picture. So we will definitely do this again. We will definitely schedule something, and hopefully we can get these technical issues worked out. So So fear and attachment. As we talk more about attachments, and I want to keep kind of reiterating this, because when you're conscious of your attachments, it's much easier to be fun in it. But when you are engrossed in your attachment, it's tough to find lightness, because when we attach, we also add all kinds of elements to those attachments. It's very rare that an attachment is just one thing. Typically, as with all things, there is that whole active part of the subconscious that is supporting your vibrational set point. So if you are in attachment, then there will be more information and ideas about how that attachment is important. Why is it important to you? Here are the things that have occurred in your life that make this attachment important to you. And you begin to build a story about the attachment. And that attachment story becomes the thing that keeps it in place. It's the thing that keeps your life in the same place. Because remember, the anchors of the attachment are the frequency that you're operating from, right? It is the frequency that you have to operate within because you've attached your energy to it. And if you remember in the meditation earlier, we were talking about how you attend to things in your field. So imagine if you have multiple attachments in different areas, how divided and how tore up your energy is going to be, and how distracted your energy is going to be at every given moment, because the ability for you to get present is very challenged by the attachments that hold you and grab you and direct you in various directions. So it's important to recognize these things, to recognize that these attachments are simply energetic. They're emotional choices based on fear. Okay, emotional choices based on fear that once anchored begin to weave their own story, they begin to accumulate data to support their anchoring. And so what becomes challenging is being able to recognize the attachment and then shake loose of those things that have anchored it into your reality, which is the fear. Okay. It is the fear. Find the fear, seek the fear. And that you can do easily through your daily practice, through your meditation, through getting quiet, through being willing, even, you know, sometimes getting quiet is a long walk in the woods. It's a climb on the mountain. It's a walk by the stream. Or it's sitting in your meditative space and just allowing yourself to relax into this moment so that you can allow your soul to inform your experience. You can allow the highest part of you, your connection to God or the universe or all that is, or however you choose to see that, the higher self. You build that relationship. And maybe at the beginning, it's a difficult one because you've put so much stuff between you and that experience that it takes a minute to find your way through it, to get to touch that experience. And part of that is the willingness to release those attachments, to unhook those anchors at whatever point you can unhook them, and allow for them to release their energy. Because when you unhook and release the energy, now the energy is clear, you can look at the actual data, as it were. You can look at what is this stuff that you have created around this and choose whether or not it's even valuable or viable to you anymore, right? And those conscious decisions are what bring us up the process, up the scale of conscious evolution. This is what it is. It's taking that 90% of us that's behind the conscious threshold and moving that to 85%. Imagine if we can do this on 10% of awareness of all that we are. Imagine if we got to 10.5%, even 10.5% or 11%. Oh my gosh. But that is conscious evolution. That is understanding where your core vibration is, understanding what are the things that you attend to in your field, right? What are they? As we talked about in the meditation at the beginning, what is your energy tied up in all of those places? Now, understand we all do that. We're human beings operating on the planet doing our thing. But there is a path of willfulness, as it were, a path that is about you deciding how you're going to push your way through the world. and you build stories to support the need to push your way through the world. You attract philosophies and teachers and books and movies and things that support that viewpoint, because that's the vibration that you're working at. That's the things that you're paying attention to. So as you change that vibration and it starts to raise, it changes your perspective, and it also changes your attachments. Because yes, there's things flowing in and out of your field all the time. We are all energetic beings, 7.5 billion of us interacting as a huge organism on this planet, right? We're all interacting, everyone having their own thoughts and feelings and experiences and interacting energetically in all of those thoughts and feelings and experiences. And then having a collective consciousness that is about those 7.5 billion people that's a mass consciousness, a dense layer of intensification of thought that has been rethought and rethought and rethought, that is now surrounding us. And again, this is not a negative, horrible thing. It's just the nature of energy. But this mass consciousness keeps us locked and supported in the concepts that we were trained to believe were the correct way to view the world. And part of that is attachments. Part of that is building an apparatus to pretend the fear isn't there, or to overwhelm the fear, or conquer the fear, or destroy the fear, or build the fear. And none of those things will ever, ever, ever happen. I'm taking a breath on that thought because I want you to understand, fear is resistance. You cannot battle resistance with resistance. It doesn't work. You just get more resistance of a different quality. So getting into that space of quiet, getting into those moments with self where you can truly, you know, when I do my practice, when I sit to go into meditation, I go through a process of stretching and opening up my body and releasing my spine, and then taking that into a breath process to activate and stimulate the prefrontal cortex of my brain to get myself shifted into this elevated state. And then I take that into a quiet moment of sitting and focused breath, using prana breathing to clear the pathways in my energy system. But what happens during that process is the mind is going 900 miles an hour. The mind has all kinds of things it wants me to attend to when I'm getting quiet, because now I'm getting quiet. So it wants me to see all of these things. And I have a process that I do, that I consciously do, that I'm aware that my mind is wanting my attention. I'm sitting in it. And many times I'm being led by it. And as I go deep into my experience, I become focused singularly in the breath. And in that singular focus, I am able to then disconnect from the noise and surrender that mind. I can surrender that thought process. I can surrender that energy that is being generated for me to focus on. And I simply see it as a melting away of that energy out of my field. I consciously breathe into it and I surrender it. Literally, I surrender this and I feel it just peel away from my field and dissipate, because it's just coalescing energy. And it only is going to be something if I give it attention, if I focus there. And that's what happens sometimes. You know, this happens. You're there and you're being quiet. And the next thing you know, you're in some story. Your mind is gently woven into your process. And you're like, you want to react to that. And I'm going to say to you, don't react to it. Respond to it. That's a natural occurrence. It's a natural thing that we've trained into most of our lives. So when you come to that point and you are aware that you have been taken down this primrose path here, all that's required is a refocus, pulling the focus off of that. And now what I do in my process, I pull the focus, I pull my awareness away from that focus, and then I surrender that focus. I just simply say, I surrender that focus. I surrender that energy. I surrender it. And I just breathe into it and I surrender it again until I feel it wash out of my energy. And suddenly I'm re-engaged into that point of absolute clarity in my breath and just beingness in that moment. And that space of complete unattachment is absolutely profound. It's absolutely breathtaking, because there is an expansiveness you feel in your energy, in your experience, that is unlike anything you'll ever feel. It's unlike anything you'll ever experience because it's so powerful. And in that, as you do that more and more, you begin to become aware of those things that are hanging in your field. You know, I've talked before on other shows that you know, the mind is good about reminding us of things that we think are important. And so if the mind is reminding you something repeatedly, and it maybe it's a task that you want to complete, and you're not prepared to complete the task, find somewhere that you can jot it down. Just write that thing down. Write those three or four things down. Get them out of active process. Get them out of the actively stimulated energy. The only reason it's there is because you're keeping it stimulated to keep it in your memory, to keep you reminded. And that's occupying a lot of energetic space. Think about that if it was a computer. You would be using all kinds of RAM to keep that thing going. And it's occupying a chunk of your energetic space. So jot it down. Somewhere that is, you know, maybe next to your desk or next to your computer or next to your phone, whatever you do, next to your bedside, wherever it is that you know you'll see it. And just jot it down and get it out of the processing mode. You already know it's there. Get rid of it. Unattach it. Even the thought. Unattach from the thought. That's how you can unattach it, because you've moved it to a place that now you've made it. You've put it in a place that has to be attended to in your reality, but it isn't in your field right now. You've kind of put it in the parking lot, as it were. And then you can come back to that at a future point and engage it or deal with it. But if you surrender the attachment to those things, excuse me, those things will begin to unfold and evolve in your experience in such an incredibly magical way that it won't feel like work. It won't feel like tasks. You'll just go bam, 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 bam. You'll get things done. You'll move through your day in joy and peace and ease and flow because you're not attached to any of it, but you're engaged with all of it. And that engagement is juicy and fun and interesting and so exciting, because you know you're going to get things done. You know you want to get the things done. And sometimes those things that we attach to in thought are there because we think we have to hang on to the thought to get resolution to the thought. And what I want to tell you is that when you surrender the thought is when you get resolution to the thought. Because the surrendering is just releasing the attachment. When you release the attachment, you create space. When you create space, you open to different opportunity. Follow that? I hope so. So I hope that as we've navigated this, that this has been and continues to be informative, and I hope that you're able to see and understand a little more clearly how we're using attachment, how we engage attachment. I want to check my categories here. You know, it's funny, fear and attachment and attachment and fear. I was contemplating this whole thing. It was interesting that it's sort of a never-ending cycle, right? It's a never-ending cycle. Your fear creates an attachment, and then your attachments create more fear, and then your fear creates more attachment, and then your attachment creates more fear. And it just keeps going and going and going. Because if you're attached to your money, if you're attached to your possessions, if you're attached to your stuff, the more you're afraid it's going to go away, the more it's going to go away. And it'll go away in bizarre and unusual ways. It'll go away however it does. People will steal it. You'll lose it. You'll break it. Somebody else will break it, whatever the case may be. But again, the fear of the loss, the fear of being in that, you know, around money and jobs and things, there's a lot of lack consciousness that builds around that. And that's for another show, and we'll get into that. But so understand that your fears and your attachment to this kind of never-ending cesspool of loop. But again, as we go back to the beginning, is what we were talking about, to unattach. See the attachment, lift it up, look at the fear that exists under the attachment. I say under, but you know what I mean. It is connected to that attachment. So I want to touch on this for a minute, because I think it's an important part of this whole deal of attachments. So many times the fear that drives attachments are things about unworthiness. And those illusions that I'm calling illusions of unworthiness understand that the illusion of unworthiness is all driven on the physical reality and the physical reality only, and the things that you've chosen to place your focus on. Okay? Let's take that a little further. No one, not one of the 7.5 billion unique sparks of light that comes onto this plane, into this time and space reality, comes in not worthy. Not one. Not one soul enters this playground in a space of unworthiness. Not one. It's learned. Just like fear is a choice, unworthiness is learned. Unworthiness is also a choice, but it's a choice based on the experiences that you've created or the experiences that you've been a part of and the decisions that you've made as a result of those choices and those experiences. Unworthiness is an illusion because it's something you had to adopt into your experience and then build stories around it in order for it to be real. Truth does not exist in that. Did you hear that? Truth does not exist in that. When we step into that state of unworthiness, when we go to that place, we invalidate who we are. We invalidate who our potential is, what our potential is, because we go from the all-encompassing ability to take in all potential and opportunity to a very limited, fearful perspective of who and what I am. And can you imagine living your life looking at the world like this? And I have my hand over my eye looking like I'm looking through a telescope. And so everything is clouded. Everything is condensed down into a tight focus. And that tight focus then begins to build a story because you've built the focus for a reason. This happened, that happened. They said this, they said that. My dad did this, my mom did that. My parents did this. I didn't have parents. I didn't have whatever it is. And I'm not saying that as a way of minimizing any of those experiences. I'm saying them as a way of just hitting identification points in the process. So an attachment to unworthiness, imagine. So someone or something has triggered this sense of I'm not enough. And remember, let me take this one back just a little bit further. As a kid, as a child, as a young child, all little people on the planet are feelers, they're experiencers. They experience the vibration and energy of their parents, of the significant people in their lives. All of their experiences, largely, especially before language, but even in the beginning of language, their experience is a sponge absorbing experience and energy. They're absorbing whatever they're feeling and experiencing from their parents, the dynamic of the parents, the energy that the predominant vibration that each parent carries and how we relate to that. And if there are things happening in that child's universe that they don't understand, and that's true of all of us at some point, they have no way to rationalize the process. They have no way to come up with story in the same way that you do once you have language. So it is a sense of, you know, how many times have you heard when parents are getting divorced, the kids blame themselves? That is not an anomaly. That is universal in some form or another. It is universal. When we don't understand at that age, because we come in so connected, we come in so aligned that when we see or feel that experience and it has no relevance or understanding, we think that something's wrong with us. Something must be wrong with me if that experience is occurring in my reality. Because we know we create our reality. We know that from the get-go. But we don't necessarily have words for it. We just know that we focus and things happen. We intend and things happen. So understand that the unworthiness could simply be sourced from a misunderstanding. And probably in 99.9% of the cases, that is true. It's a misidentification, misunderstanding, and a story that was spun around it that created this anchor, that created this attachment to this concept of unworthiness. That's why it's an illusion. It's not real. It's an imagined story. It's an imagined belief. It's an imagined outcome because as a child, you didn't have this playground rationality built into you yet. You hadn't learned language enough to do critical thinking yet. So the immediate thought is, if I'm experiencing unlove, if I'm experiencing non-love coming to my space, what have I done to generate to have that happen? Is what happens in the consciousness of that being. Absence of love, oh my gosh. Over time, that translates into unworthiness. And that happens because we adopt a perspective, and that focus is what draws our experience to us. It's what draws those unworthy experiences, and that's how we continue to build that story, because of the focus. So parents, think about that as well. Anyone interacting with anyone else, remember, your influence is significant. And if they don't have the ability to respond to your influence, be aware of what you are offering in your influence. Be aware that, yes, of course, you're human, you're going through your own experience, but be aware that if you have that sponge in your space, that sponge is taking every aspect of the things that you are experiencing and absorbing them and drawing conclusions in energy and focus. That's why they chose you, to focus them in the way that would create the trajectory for their life experience going forward. Because they knew that you in this moment, in these times, would set the energetic space for me to be all that I could be. But this was the doorway, this was the threshold, this was the avenue that I knew I needed to travel in order to get there from here. So I chose this environment, these parents, this circumstance, because I knew it would set me up for the greatest potential for success. Remember, everything is conspiring on your behalf at all times. If you can separate yourself from your attachments, if you can look at those attachments and see the fear underneath and surrender that fear, choose something different. You change the trajectory of your experience because you release the shackles that are holding your vibrational field in a particular band, as it were. And all of us have a desire to expand. All of us have a desire to grow beyond all of this extraordinary experience that we're having. So as you release the attachments, you tap back into that natural joy and enthusiasm. You tap back into that universal love and that unbelievable connection to everything. And it just requires the choice to choose something other than fear, to recognize that we are so much more, and that those things that we have judged ourselves for, those things that we have thought negatively of ourselves for, may have no basis in a reality. They may have no basis in anything other than story. And story is just a collection of words woven into a tapestry of energy that is easily unwound because you created it. Tell a new story. You can do that at any time. There is no saying, there's nowhere anywhere that says the imaginary baggage that you're dragging around has to be there. There's no saying anywhere that says you can't drop that baggage at any moment, at any time, when you choose to. You have that power, you have that ability, you have that strength. You are all that always. And that's why I'm so excited that I get the chance to do this with you, to share these conversations, to go deep into these topics that I think are so valuable and so important to where we are in the world and the transformation that is occurring on this planet at this moment. Guys, I hope you get how much I appreciate you and how much I love that you're there and how much I love getting to do this. And please, if you like the show, please subscribe. Please click that bell on YouTube. Please go to Facebook and like and share. Tell your friends about us. That's how we get out in the world. That's how we get to share this message further and further. My whole mission is this. It's all between my book and my program, and this is all about transforming fear, transforming the experience of fear and walking people through the process of surrendering to something new and greater and more incredible than you could have ever imagined. www.adventuresintruth.com is my website. You can go there to learn about the show. There are order links for the book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love. Please take a moment to go there. Please order the book. Again, it will create an amazing change in your life. I guarantee that. It's an extraordinary book that really helps to bring into focus much of what we talk about on the show. I wish you an amazing day. I thank you for sharing this time with me. I thank you for sharing this show, and I hope you share this around with your friends and loved ones, and may your holidays be amazing. And Selena, if you're out there, I hope this did you proud, and I'm looking forward to us having an even greater conversation when we get together. And what else? Just happy holidays, guys. Do the best you can from where you are with what you have. Find the love in any situation you can. Release the attachments to how it's supposed to look. And create space for the joy for how it can look now, different from what you may have been used to. And it's okay. It's okay. Because the new change, the new experience could be something that could change your life. Why not avail yourself to it? Until we meet again, my friends, until I see you next time, have an incredible day, have an incredible week, and we'll see you next time on Adventures in Truth. Thank you all very much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth podcast. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to connect with you. Please like us on Facebook and subscribe on YouTube. To learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, or to book a session with Jim, you can email us at adventuresintruth@gmail.com, or you can join us on the web at www.adventuresintruth.com. Tune in next time for another great Adventures in Truth podcast.